So good morning to you, and good morning to Alison Morris from the Irish News. Good morning, Alison.
Good morning.
Across in London, I'm not sure if you're there at the moment or not, but you certainly have been in London, and you've been keeping keeping a watchful eye and an ear on what they're doing. Are they now reining themselves back in a bit after the emotive language that we've been hearing?
Well, I was there all day yesterday, and you could see there was a change in mood. There was a bit more of a sombre mood, but I think that what's happened is that Parliament has probably changed forever. I think that the use of the language, and it isn't just coming from one side towards the other, it is an exchange across the floors. It is not, you know, the sort of democratic parliamentary language we're used to. There has been an Americanization almost of British politics. It's gone quite Trump-like, and I think that what we've seen is that change, but also I think that they need to be really careful, because when you're in London and you're even walking around Westminster, there are, you know, hordes of people who protest outside there every day, and you can see even with them that there's, you know, at times there's a mood and there's a tension that's building. And I think that what's happening at Westminster will be reflected within communities all across the UK if something doesn't give soon. And I think that, you know, Boris Johnson's plan, if there is one at this point in time, seems to be that if things get so chaotic that MPs will have no other choice but to relent and agree to a general election just to try and calm things down. But I think that's quite a dangerous tactic.
We've plenty of experience, of course, of street protest leading to violence in this part of the world, and finger-pointing at certain politicians for saying things that triggered whatever happened. There's a track record of that. We could list many examples. We don't really expect it in Parliament, and we've seen very measured and dignified protest there on the Green. Okay, some of it very loud and lively and cheeky and annoying, but none of it until recently with a vitriolic tone. Are you genuinely concerned that maybe not just outside Parliament, but at other towns and cities across the UK, this is going to lead to violence?
Well, I'm not sure even that we'll get to the point where it'll lead to violence. I mean, there is a far right that is growing within England and within certain parts of England, which are exploiting the Brexit uncertainty. But speaking to some of the MPs yesterday, they are concerned that within their constituencies there's such massively different views with regards to Brexit, and the longer it goes on, the more that those views, you know, the division, that sometimes within families, you know, there's a disagreement in relation to what's the way forward. But as it's gone on, what has happened is, and you can see that this current government, their plan seems to be to make out that they are, you know, of the people, and that the establishment, whoever the establishment are meant to be, are preventing Brexit. And the establishment, be they the judiciary, be they other MPs, be they the media in some cases, are trying their best to prevent Brexit happening, and that is what they have now portrayed. And I think that that is a very dangerous tactic, because what then that portrays, so you have these very sort of posh Etonian boys claiming that they are of the people and that everyone else is the establishment, and that seems to be how they've played it, and that seems to be the tactic to try and convince people that if they don't have Brexit, that this is what's going to happen, and what's going to happen is that the community and cohesive community structures will just split.
I notice in your article today in the Irish News, under a headline, Parliament brushing up the broken glass of the rough night before, you make reference to Dominic Cummings, who always seems to be portrayed in the media as some sort of ogre from the shadows. And even today I see Skye doorstepping him as in he's walking along a dark street, and there the reporter is there with the microphone under his chin. You say Boris Johnson's trusted advisor Dominic Cummings holds court dressed in his signature dishevelled fashion. He's surrounded by political reporters who flock to him like baby ducks waiting on crumbs of bread. Do you get a sense that Cummings is thoroughly enjoying this power that he seems to have as an unelected member of the civil service?
I was, you know, right beside him yesterday. I watched him for probably as he flocked from one sort of crowd of people to another for about an hour, and he is in his element. I mean, he is definitely not, you know, people are saying that, you know, whatever Cummings' plan was has failed. He doesn't look like a man who's failed. He looks like a man who is thoroughly enjoying his work at this present time. I mean, he was flocking around reporters saying, well, you haven't seen anything yet. This isn't the end of it yet. You know, we haven't even started yet. And he's a very strange character. You know, when you see him in real life, you can see he's very disheveled. He is very odd. And, you know, if he does have a plan, so far it hasn't been evident, because what we were told was the plan, you know, to have a general election before Brexit, to change the arithmetic at Westminster, to get Boris's deal through. None of that's happened. We're also past the point now, constitutionally, where there could be an election before October the 31st. I think there has to be 25 clear working days before an election could be called, and so the time has run out for that to happen at this stage. So whatever his plan is, he appears to think that it's all going swimmingly. And the thing about it is, I suppose, for us and even for Scotland, is, you know, Cummings is, you know, he's an English nationalist. He's someone who believes entirely in what it is he's doing, but doesn't consider other parts of the UK, if you like. He certainly isn't considered Northern Ireland or Scotland in this plan. I think that he wants Brexit, and he wants it on very narrow terms, and hasn't considered the long term effect on the economies of other places in relation to that.
Alison, thank you very much indeed. Alison Morris from the Irish News. You can read her article there in the paper, Parliament Brushing Up Broken Glass of the Rough Night Before. Eamon Malley is available to speak to us as well. Good morning, Eamon.
Good morning, Frank.
Eamon, really the reason that we're talking is following this thread that has been running through the programme during the course of the week, where the language in Parliament has definitely been more aggressive than we're used to. And a lot of people are beginning to make their voices heard outside Parliament. Is there a risk that this is going to become exceptionally fraught beyond the green benches?
Yes. I have been writing for some time about what I was calling, a coarseness which has entered the language of Westminster. Now, I go back a long way, Frank, a bit like yourself. I go back to the days of Dennis Healey and people like that. You know, like, they were intellectual bruisers, and they weren't shy. They weren't withering violets when it came to expressing themselves. But at the same time, I think that we have exported a coarseness to the Houses of Parliament, and what some of the language at Westminster, it's not surprised me at all. We have lived with this coarseness, this vulgarity in Parliament buildings during the various assemblies at Stormont, and some of the people who would have used the vulgarities there and coarseness, they have been culpable of using corresponding language at Westminster. So there's almost a form of Ulsterisation taking place at Westminster of what has been going on here for years in politics. Like, there was a modicum of decorum within the house, the houses for most of my life. But I'm afraid that at the moment, and you must remember, there were really, really extraordinary circumstances happening at Westminster, where Tony Blair was planning to go to war, the Gulf War and all, and Iraq and everything like that, and so Iraq particularly. So let me say, he was taking extraordinary decisions at that time. And it's just that it's hit a new low. And I think what a former aide to Tony Blair described as a dead cat strategy. Dead catting, it's a term used to distract. It's like coming in to a board meeting and throwing a dead cat on the table to distract very, very bad news. And the bad news, of course, was the visitation upon Boris Johnson by the Supreme Court, which really, really humiliated him. And then the failure to deliver a deal despite his many promises with Europe. So you throw a dead cat on the table. Everybody's appalled, and that becomes the story. But there's another story breaking, just as we're going to air here, Frank. It's being reported now on the wires that the Scottish Nationalists are now prepared to row in behind Jeremy Corbyn as a caretaker Prime Minister. Now, just where this is going, it is going to be very, very interesting. So we may be just at the foothills of the Andes in terms of political landslides or earth tremors. We may think that we've seen extraordinary things, but who knows what's going to happen in the coming days?
Who knows what's going to happen in the coming hours is the way that Parliament
exactly,
is.
It is extraordinary.
But you equated us or Parliament to ourselves here in Northern Ireland. And very often when it was emotive in Parliament buildings, it ended up dangerous on the streets. Are you concerned for the streets of suburbia or city centres or villages or towns or Westminster? Are you concerned for any of those streets in England?
I always guard against raising the temperature. I think people have to find language, moderate the language overall. But you're now having manifestations and public admissions by MPs. When the whole question, well, obviously that Labour lady who expressed her shock at some of the comments of Boris Johnson, she drew attention to what had happened because of atmospheres to Joe Cox, the Labour MP. Now, and then the Prime Minister rebuked her, rebutted her with the term humbug. Now, humbug is quite an offensive word. It means falsehood, lies, misleading. I checked the dictionary meaning of it last night, you know. So in the context to use the term humbug against the backdrop of this lady's preoccupation about the danger of abuse of language and misuse of language, his answer, his riposte, was correspondingly as provocative. And then you had another MP reporting that there was some individual thumping at her office, at her clinic window, shouting frantically, fascist, 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 because of her modus operandi or because she took a contrary view to the orthodox view of her party. So there are those tensions developing at grassroots level outside of Westminster. So I think it is time to calm the situation down, and then you can see where it's going, because the House has not permitted a recess to facilitate the Conservative Party conference. And I said the other morning, Frank, that if the Conservative Party moved again to recess or prorogue Westminster, that the other parties would meet at Church House in the Westminster area. And there's precedent for that during the war, I think. So I there would be, and that's obviously what was going to happen if the vote hadn't been strong enough to block the recess. But the party conference is going ahead, but obviously it's going to be cut short because Boris Johnson will have to be back in the House, etc. So we're going through an extraordinary period, and I was watching the Secretary of State on television last night, and I just felt what a subdued, quasi-beaten Secretary of State he is already. You can just see the impotence attaching to the poor man. And I think there's a general perception he's probably a very decent fellow, but I think that he just doesn't know which way to turn. The Prime Minister on said, "Oh, we're going to keep the factory going, and we're doing great things for Harlan and Wolff." But I used an analogy last night. Historically, with governments, from my reading, and I'm reading a lot of history at the moment, Frank, because I'm doing a lot of research. Beneath the plinthal line in politics, I have discovered that extraordinary things go on, even in the Thatcher era. Like Mrs. Thatcher, when she was out there barracking the hunger strikers and Republicans, she was personally, subterraneously, liaising personally with the hunger strikers and Republicans at that point in time. So beneath the plinthal line, You always discover that there's more life, that things are happening, that change is taking place. But unfortunately, I'm wondering, is it all flotsam jetsam that we're seeing with Boris? Now, he may pull a rabbit out of the hat, but at the moment, it's very hard to see that, because everything he has touched has turned to pewter, not gold, pewter. So it's a rather worrying time.
And finally, Eamon, do you get a sense from the discussion, from the, particularly from some of the women who are talking in Parliament, that there is a general fear? You made reference to the humbug reference, which was a, he replied to the Labour MP Paula Sheriff on that one, and he there's also quite a vocal element coming from other women, including the woman who had her windows bashed. That was Jess Phillips, who's a Labour MP as well. Do you get a sense that those women, because of what happened previously to Joe Cox, that they are genuinely fearful at the moment?
Well, I can't put myself in their shoes, but I doubt if those ladies would be saying what they're saying, Frank, if there wasn't a reality attaching to it. And, you know, if you're out of line, and you can't be correct all the time, if Boris had come in and humbled himself and paid due respect graciously to Lady Hale and the Supreme Court, it's this bulldozer approach. But what is very revealing, I'm sure you saw what his sister said yesterday, that she fears that he's been driven by the people around him to introduce what has been referred to as this dead cat strategy, provocative comments, reaction, etc. But further, and this is something I wouldn't understand, you'd have to get Jamie DeLarge on to explain this. Her worry is that the billionaires are shorting the sterling, and that there's a bigger agenda here, and he is playing to that agenda. Now, I do not understand the term shorting, but your friend, your colleague JB DeLarge does, because I remember he addressed it a number of times when he was working there at UTV. So that is extraordinary what his own sister said, that those are the potential motives. And she said he is loving this. That's the other thing. He is loving being a prime minister. Well, I hope she's not suggesting that he sees this as a big game, and that it's a game for his own entertainment and recreation, because there's so much at stake here for all of us. And I come back to a thesis I have expounded upon it before, and that is the question of the Democratic Unionist Party. Where are they in all of this? They're standing by Boris Johnson. So where is this going? And then we heard the managing director of Dale Farm on, and I've been on this thesis for a long time about the farming community. And he says he is predicting that if these tariffs are introduced on milk crossing the border, that the dairy industry is going to be wiped out. What is being said to the farmers? What is the message from the farmers to the farmers from the DUP? It's a most bewildering era in which we're living, Frank.
Eamon, thank you very much indeed. Eamon Malley with his overview on where we are at this present moment in time on what has been a very loud week in Parliament, even though at the start of it, we didn't have anyone in Parliament. It's crazy. It really is. 0289 033 105 077 66 105 105.